And as we've been hearing, there's been widespread condemnation of the vote by the Israeli parliament to ban the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency, UNRWA, from working within the country. The United States has warned that the decision could prompt an even greater humanitarian crisis in Gaza, while the UN Secretary General said the ban would have devastating consequences for Palestinians. The vote is the culmination of years of friction between the UN and Israel. Most of the new law's provisions aren't due to take effect for 3 months. Yotam Confino is the Daily Telegraph's correspondent in Israel, and he joins us now on the line. Yotam, relations between Israel and UNRWA have not been good for a very, very long time. So why did Israeli politicians make this particular decision now?
Well, it came after Israel uncovered that a number of members of UNRWA participated in the October 7 massacre. And this was really just the tipping point. This was simply what drove Israel into passing these laws, because it's one too many scandals for Israel. One thing is to have anti-Semitism and a glorification of jihad in textbooks for Palestinians, but when some of their staff members directly participate in this massacre, they said enough is enough. And this is why we're seeing those two bills being passed, and we're expecting another one to pass, which would basically designate UNRWA as a terror organization.
Now, the UN would say that it did investigate those allegations made by Israel and that 9 workers were sacked. And they would say that, listen, in terms of the overall numbers of people we employ in Gaza, 9 workers is a very small number.
Yeah, but Israel has provided a list with another 108 members who are either directly or indirectly affiliated with Hamas and Islamic Jihad, which UNRWA is still investigating. And on top of that, we keep seeing members of Hamas being killed who are then also turn out to be UNRWA staff members. Last month, for example, Israel killed a high-ranking member of Hamas in Lebanon, and it turned out that he had actually also been a principal at UNRWA. So Israel is arguing this is just the tip of the iceberg, and UNRWA is not doing enough to investigate. And of course, like you also mentioned, it's not just what happened after October the 7th. It's years of helping or perpetuating the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by, first of all, radicalizing children with anti-Semitism in their textbooks, but also insisting that all Palestinians are refugees. We have to remember that UNRWA was established in 1949, a year after the war between Israel and Arab nations. Back then, there were 700,000 Palestinian refugees. That number today is nearly 6 million. And according to UNRWA, all of those people should be allowed to return to Israel or Palestine proper, which would devastate the Israeli state. So there are many, many issues between UNRWA and Israel. It's a very complex and long history between those two entities.
And yet, as far as this decision is concerned, it's been widely condemned, even by countries like the US and Britain, which are usually seen as Israel's strongest allies.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of the things that Israel does will be condemned by the close allies, ranging from closing or outlawing UNRWA to having settlements. I don't think it's going to have any effect, to be honest, on Israel's decision. And I believe that behind closed doors, I believe that some of these countries would very much like to actually have a replacement for UNRWA. The question is, who should take over? If there were an entity that could take over tomorrow, I'm sure that a lot of those allies would actually approve that. But the problem is that it's such a big entity, UNRWA, and they have thousands of people staffed, and they are serving nearly 6 million people. So it's a huge task, and that's the main problem here, to find somebody who can fill their shoes.
But in the meantime, like I say, even those allies say that what this decision is likely to do is lead to further death, to further suffering. Is it a move that's likely to be supported by the general public in Israel?
I believe so. Most Israelis have seen what UNRWA has been doing for years, and they are no longer listening to advice coming from the international system on how they should go about dealing with the Palestinian conflict. One of the people who spoke out against UNRWA was a mother whose son's body was dragged into Gaza by an UNRWA staff member. It was caught on video, on surveillance camera. She's just one of many, many Israelis who have had enough of this, and they see this as just an endless cycle of violence that UNRWA is participating in by either having members directly involved with Hamas or helping radicalize youth. So yes, inside Israel, it's widely accepted as the right thing to do at this point.
The ban is due to come into effect within the next 3 months. What are the prospects, if any, of Israel being persuaded to suspend its implementation?
So unless the United States somehow punishes Israel, imposes sanctions, withdraws, withholds money or weapons, I don't think that it's going to change at all, because the United States is, after all, the only country in the world right now that has any sort of leverage over Israel. And I don't see that happening, especially if Donald Trump wins the election in November. What we're likely going to see is Israel is going to try and avoid UNRWA when it comes to aid in Gaza. We also have to remember that UNRWA, nearly 60% of their budget goes to education. There's no education in Gaza right now. All schools are closed. So in terms of getting aid into Gaza, UNRWA is less important in the bigger picture than normal, under normal circumstances, where it's taken care of education. So aid is still going to come into Gaza, and they're just going to try now to find a post-war plan that doesn't include UNRWA when it comes to Gaza.
Yotam Confino of the Daily Telegraph in Israel. Thank you. Well, James Elder.